changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
So today what we want to talk about with regards to Ted Lasso is we want to talk about his idea of winning and losing. Now, let me tell you a little story about the team that he comes to take over. It's Richmond something, and it's just outside of London. And unlike American football teams, excuse me, I don't know why I'm so congested. I went out walking this morning and it was very, well, we got rained on, so very humid out there. Anyway, he takes over this football club, and it's a British football club, and he has no experience whatsoever in doing this, and doesn't even understand the rules in soccer, doesn't understand that you can have a tie, doesn't understand how to throw the ball in, and yet somehow he manages to become very, very successful in doing this. Now, when he gets there, this team has been losing for years, and that's the point. He has been brought in to make sure they lose even more. The ex-wife has inherited the husband's football club, hates him and wants to burn it to the ground. Those are her literal words. So she brings in this guy she thinks is just going to be an utter embarrassment and hated by all the fans. And he is. He is absolutely hated by all the fans. And within 5 minutes of arriving at the football stadium, without having had a minute's sleep on the flight over because he was so excited, he is thrown into doing an interview with the press, hundreds of members of the press. And they ask him about winning and losing. And he says something that just really, everyone hated him when the plane landed. But when he said this, everyone hated him. He said, well, I'm not really that much into winning and losing. I don't care so much about the numbers on the scoreboard. And then everybody just shocked, and they show reactions on televisions all over London in England. And he says, and then he goes on to answer another question. A little bit later on, he goes, and by the way, he goes back to the original reporter. He says, I want to go back and say you heard me right when I said that I'm not so much into winning and losing. I believe you can put the most numbers on the scoreboard and you can still lose. And I also believe you cannot put the most numbers on the scoreboard and you can still be winners. And people lost their minds. Now, the next couple of games, he loses the first one, of course. He almost loses the next one, wins the next one, but he really doesn't seem to care. They do celebrate their wins, but they celebrate their losses every bit as big. Not quite as big, but big. And they don't talk about it. So what occurred to me about why would a coach have this concept? I realize this is a fictional show, okay? Don't get me wrong. But is it healthy for the players and for the coach and for the fans to not quite be so concerned about that? Well, in this case, of course, winning and losing is much more important because in British football clubs, if a team falls below a certain standard, they get downgraded, which basically means they can go from being a major NFL team to being a farm club, and they lose almost everything, their sponsorship, then they have to try and fight back. The teams get broken up usually. So that's the kind of pressure he's under. He has to win to keep the club. But what he cares more about is the players, their interactions, their working together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And man, this hit me. Man, this hit me. Because back when I was living in Miami some, there were all these yachts in the marina in this condo complex where we were living. I don't know the technical definition of a yacht, but there were several boats that were 40 plus feet, maybe 50 is the definition of a yacht. The interesting thing was, your eye would always go to the bigger yacht, you know? You would always focus on the higher number. This is going back to that winning and losing thing, okay? Your eye always goes to the bigger yacht. And forever, I would always notice, I'd look at the other yachts and everything and notice them and appreciate them, but you'd always kind of go, wow. And then one day, in pulled this 110-foot yacht that took up the entire side of the marina. And I was like, wow. And I also realized that depending on the person's nature who owned what was the larger yacht in the marina, there may have been some sort of pride attached to that I've got the biggest yacht. I scored the most points. Rather than this is something that represents love for me and my family, or time for me and my friends, or a hobby for me. And I don't really care what other people do and other people have. That's a hard thing, y'all. That's a really, really, really hard thing. Somebody posted on Facebook the other day, and I shared it on my personal page. And it was a guy sitting in a brand new sports car, like a little yellow Lamborghini. And the guy next to him says, man, that's my dream car. You can see a thought bubble. And the guy next to him is in a nice car. And there's a thought bubble above him. And he says, man, I wish I had an SUV. And then it shows a guy on a bicycle. It says, man, I wish I had a car. And then it shows a guy sitting on the street. It's, man, I wish I had a bike. We always compare ourselves upward. And that's unfortunate, because we can never be happy when we compare ourselves up, when we look at numbers, when we think that is what's important. To Ted, it's how well his team played together. Did they give 110%? You think about it, right? A team plays a game and they lose. A team plays a game and they lose. Understandably, they need to be prepared for the competition. Don't get me wrong. And yet it leaves in the hands of that team, the other team, whether or not this team is a winner or loser. And the same is true then for other people. When we look at other people and when we compare ourselves to what they have and to what they've done, I still find myself sometimes when I'm talking or seeing people like Tim Ferriss and, you know, with tens of millions and everything. And then it's so funny, I've sold way more books than those people. It all depends on the numbers that you choose to focus on. And the best thing you can choose to focus on is whether or not you're proud of yourself, whether or not you're proud of your efforts, whether or not you feel satisfied. I just finished the Mastermind class with Aaron Sorkin. Mastermind, I highly recommend it. If you want to learn from the greatest experts in every field, from style to directing. But I just finished the one with Aaron Sorkin. Now, Aaron Sorkin wrote A Few Good Men, West Wing, Lincoln, Broadcast News. Not Broadcast News, I always say that. Anyway. You know who Aaron Sorkin is. He just rewrote To Kill a Mockingbird for Broadway. I watched his show, and he said, basically, when you're writing characters, what you do is you take characters and you put them in hell and you see how they're going to get themselves out of it. But the point is not whether or not they get themselves out of it. The point is what they become in the process. Can I say that again? Whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter how you come out on the other side. It matters who walks out on the other side. It matters who walks out on the other side. Think about it. Sorkin says some of the greatest movies of all time, the protagonist loses. Think of Rocky. Originally, in Dodgeball, the good guys lost. People flipped out. But in some of the greatest movies, the winner actually loses, but it's who they become. So I'm sure you're going through something right now. I think it was Epictetus or maybe Plato who said that be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is carrying a heavy burden. So I'm sure you're going through this, something, right now, or you're going to. And it's so easy to define winning and losing, just like somebody would with a football team. I win if this happens, I lose if this happens. If you win and don't become something, you lose. You lose. I know some people who were born. Well, let me give you another example. There's a great episode of 30 Rock where John Hamm is there. Yeah, plays Tina Fey's boyfriend. And his problem is he's got a bad case of handsome. In other words, he's so good looking, no one's ever told him that he's bad at tennis, he's bad at making love, he's bad at talking, he's bad at eating in a restaurant, but he's so handsome, he just gets away with everything. It is in experiencing challenges that we get to see who we are, and then we get to redefine who we want to become. Your challenges are not there to torture you. They are to reveal you to you so that you can become everything you want. Why do you want to become everything you want? So that you're an energetic match for everything you want to have, and so that you appreciate everything that you have. One of the worst things is to have great things and to feel like you don't deserve it. I've told you before, the first time I walked into the Random House building in New York, oh my God, did I feel like a pair of brown shoes at a tuxedo formal. I walked in that door in my ill-fitting suit, and they had a sign that said, Random House welcomes our new author, Will Bowen. And there was books all on the wall from the greatest writers in time that they had published, including Maya Angelou and Dr. Seuss and everybody. And I came in the door and I went right back out the door. So we've got to feel like we belong there. So whatever you're going through, grow through it. It's hard. It's not easy. It's so much easier to point the finger at everybody else. And yet we got to remember, of course, that finger is pointing to here. It's pointing three times at us. By the way, I'm just declaring now, when COVID's over, we're getting together. I'm picking a date. We're going to do a complaint-free conference. We're going to do a seminar. We're going to do a weekend. We're going to do something, and it's going to be fun. I want to be in your energy. Everybody got a chance to make a comment or ask a question. What's the show you think I'll enjoy next was my question. Oh, I'm a little bit behind here. The Secret, we talked about that. Searching for Sugarman. I have never heard of Searching for Sugarman. I'm going to actually take a picture of that, so I will have it to remind me later. I'll use my technology to remind my to use my technology. Hey, Trish. Trish says, good morning. We compare our insides with others' outsides. That is so true, Ed. Very well put. Very, very well put, as always. Good for you to be you and help this way. Years ago, I did the challenge and got away from it. After 2020, ready to go again with this support. Well, Linda, I am glad to hear it. And we are going to be announcing an opportunity, a limited opportunity. We were going to test something to get people to take the complaint-free bracelet challenge the way we used to do it, but do it for free. Just give us a buck for the shipping. I'm going to explain more, but we're going to limit it just to test it. Good morning from Houston. Glad to finally be able to join y'all again, says Kathy. Wow, Houston, you got kicked. Lots of challenges, but blessed with shelter, heat, and some intermittent water, you became grateful for the same things. You become grateful for the same thing. Humble you. Yes, jumpstart partay, says Jennifer. Yeah, I would definitely look forward to that. Actually, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I live in Key Largo, which is the first rock south of Miami, the first island, and there is a Marriott 300 yards up the street from me, and I've already been in and looked at their conference center, and it literally is built up over the water. You're looking in the bay, and I just see it. I see us there together. So how about that? I should have shared my vision with you a long time ago. There's my vision. Put yourself down. Make a plan. It's very simple. You fly into Miami, and then you'll take a shuttle down here. We'll work it all out. You work for Marriott. Well, Jennifer, awesome possum. There's a Marriott in Plano, Texas. And Jack, I think, is the general manager there. Anyway, he gave complaint-free bracelets to all of his employees, and he insisted that they take the challenge. It became a thing. It became something he talked about. He continues to do that. He continues to get bracelets, et cetera, et cetera. And he told me that he has one of the top-performing Marriotts in the country. And he attributes it directly to taking the complaint-free challenge. Wow. Synchronicity. How cool, everybody. Well, listen, thanks so much for being with me. It's a Friday. What in the world was that? Alexa just burped, I guess. Anyway, you know what I might do? I might be with you tomorrow morning and think if it's 8 o'clock and I'm up, since I'm single now, I really started only doing these 5 days a week so that she and I could have time on the weekends. And now that I've got plenty of time, look for me. I may well be here on Saturday and Sunday. Not sure what I'll talk about. Maybe it'll just be vamping. Just want you to know that I love you all. And you're my complaint-free family. Click share right now so we build this family, guys. Click share and say share in your comment, please. Click share. No matter when you're watching this, please just click share. And invite your friends and families to be part of our positive online community. I keep telling myself this affirmation that I got from this book I'm reading. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb and tell you the truth. I'll see you tomorrow. Love you all.
Bye-bye. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying.